Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning. This is Villa Willis, and I welcome you to Villa Speaks. I am excited to have this program today with my guest, Andrea Landry Brown. We're going to be focusing on mental wellness. And when I spoke with her today, we were texting or emailing each other. I was very excited to have her use that set of words. So I was talking about mental health. But she wants to talk today about mental wellness. I do want to let you know that Andrea and I met. We were both speakers at an event. And she came and did a presentation about mental health. Mental wellness. And she shared a very powerful story. And as we are at this time wanting to do those things that will make these last 4 months the best months of 2018, and actually we're getting ready to step into the last 90 days of this month, and to make these last 90 days the best months of 2018, it has been my commitment to you to bring to you speakers can be resources to have that happen. And one of the things that we all need to have a conversation about is our mental wellness. I had posted a comment on Facebook I'm almost ready to come off Facebook. Just so much unhappiness, and I understand that people are unhappy, but we can choose our thoughts and choose what we want to express. And so I had put a comment on there saying, what happened to being able to agree to disagree without being disagreeable? And someone asked me, is that even a thing? And it has to do about where our minds are at and what's going on with us. And so it really made me happy to be having Andrea on the program today, that we need to talk about our mental wellness. And a lot of things are coming forward. So many women talking about things that we didn't talk about before and realizing now that it's affected our mental health. But also talking about men. Do men know also have the capacity to express themselves in a way that is brings wellness to them mentally? And so I do want to let you know that Andrea Brown is a wellness strategy, a peer mentor, and a professional speaker, an author, an educator, and that she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, anxiety, and PTSD in 2006, all terms that can scare most people, but she was able to turn those around and bring health and healing to others. Andrea has a master's degree in psychology, and she has written several mental wellness workbooks to assist individuals with symptom management, self-acceptance, and eliminating stigma. And that is one of the reasons I wanted to have her on the program today, that I have a cousin that has a mental health disorder, and we have never talked about it. Everyone knows about it, but there's like a stigma attached to that. And it hurts my heart to think that had our family made better choices, he might be living a more full life. And so I'm hoping, the one thing I didn't do was ask Andrea what number she's calling in on. So we have several people on the that have called in to listen. So I'm hoping that this number I'm picking is Andrea. And if not, I'll thank you and go to the next. Without further ado, I want to bring on my guest for today, Andrea Landry Brown. Andrea, is this you? Hello, Andrea?
Hello?
Is this Andrea?
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Just waiting on the line.
All right, darling. Let me get to Andrea.
Okay.
Is this Andrea? Hello? Andrea? Hello, Andrea? Well, I am having just a challenge getting her on the line. Let me reach out to her to make sure she has the best contact info. Thank God for computers and iPads and things that why I've got you here. Uh, I can also reach out to her this way. Well, I'm waiting to see how she's going to get in contact with me. I will tell you one of the things that I wanted to have her address is that the I'm going to use for now the myth of the strong woman, and that oftentimes, especially in the African-American community, we have this feeling that you're a strong black woman, so you never break down and you never are sad. You know, when you're tired, you just keep going, and that can have a very detrimental effect on our mental health, because we do need to be vulnerable and we do need to have our weakness and do need to be able to reach out for help. And also, as Andrew, I want to talk about and touch on what many have called a toxic masculinity. I think we take a look at the Brett Kavanaugh hearing that they had yesterday, and we see men who can express their rage, but are they also able to express their sadness? You know, I think about one of the benefits that women have is that we can cry about stuff. I go to our girlfriends and we have retail therapy, but oftentimes men don't have those things. And so how do they express their sadness or lack of connection and those sorts of things? And when you're not able to do that in a way that is healthy and empowering, you're going to choose things or act in a way that reflects that. And so I wanted to have Andrea talk about those things. And then, of course, the stigma of having a diagnosis. Trying to get her on the line. I don't want to ramble on and on and on. I want her to speak. Hold on just 1 minute. Okay, let me try again and see if I've got her. Put you on hold again. Is this Andrea? Hello? Hello, is this Andrea?
Yes, it is.
Darling, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing very well. So let's dive right in. One of the things I said to want to talk about is sort of the stigma of the strong black woman, or the woman, the multitasking woman that can do everything, and oftentimes the challenging effects it can have on your mental wellness.
Yes. You know what? We are taught at a very young age that we need to take care of the home, be able to work as much as we can to bring in the finances. And if we're married, we are to take care of the husband, we're to take care of the children and have everything A-okay. We are to be supportive for our husbands. We are to be supportive for our family and for our children. But when it comes to us, we always seem to be the last one in line. So it kind of follows along with that. Remember that Angelique commercial in the 70s where it says, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan kind of thing?
Yes.
It comes along with that particular mentality. You know, even in 2018, where we are a lot more equal than we were back in the day, we still are taught with that we are last mentality. We have to make sure that everything else is okay, everything else is perfect, and then we can take time out for us.
And so what are some of the effects? Like, what are some of the effects it has on our mental wellness? And then talk about your journey. You have some very terms that mostly scare people, bipolar disorder, anxiety, and PTSD. And most of the time we think that's what's happened to someone that served in the military. But these are actually from actual real life. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing that.
No, I don't mind at all. Actually, I was always a little more on the eccentric side of my mom's four children, always doing things that were a little more elaborate, a little more dramatic than everybody else. So my mom always thought that I just needed that extra attention. But it turned out that along with my high times and my over-exaggeration of things, I would always fall into a period of despair and of sadness, which is what manic depression is, or in the new terms today of bipolar. We never really understood why it was I would have the extremes of both, of both of those particular emotions. But later on, after I had told my doctor that I had been awake for 7 days straight, that he had showed me the extremes of the fact that I was awake for 7 days straight with no psychotic issues or anything like that, that helped him to track down the fact that I did have bipolar disorder. As far as the PTSD, PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. And the reason why an individual can get PTSD is when they experience trauma. And it can be any kind of trauma. If I were to walk up to you and you don't know me from Adam and I just pinch you out of nowhere, that can cause trauma for you. It's like, what is her problem? Why should she just do that? So then every time you go out in public and you're around strangers, you have this in the back of your head that somebody's going to walk up to you and pinch you out of nowhere. That's a form of PTSD. The reason why it was always thought that only combat veterans could receive or could have PTSD is because they had the most extreme part of it as far as being in war times, stepping on landmines, being in the fights, and having to have their minds programmed on extreme survival circumstances. PTSD, as I said before, can be something as light as you bumping into someone and they're pinching you to as extreme of being yelled at all the time. You know, my mom was talking about a time when she was in the grocery store with my niece. And my niece, when she was younger, was the kind of kid that liked to pick up everything. So she would get her hands smacked, you know, to keep her from picking up everything, to keep her from hurting herself. So as my niece was asking for more things than my mom was prepared to give her, she was fussing at her and telling her, "You stop doing that." But as she raised her voice, my niece shrank, you know, away from her as if she was getting ready to be hit, as if she was getting ready to be spanked or something. That was her PTSD response to every time I touch someone, every time I want something, my hands get smacked away. So it's just, it can go from, like I said, the simple of being pinched to the extreme of being in war times.
And that also, someone who has PTSD may have been traumatized by sexual assault or sexual abuse or mental manipulation to where now they think something is the matter with them, that they're having a mental wellness, but that they may also be having a PTSD reaction. Can you talk to that a bit more?
Yes, I am a sexual abuse survivor. When I was 13 years old, I was molested by my father, and it really gave me a sense of a fear of older men, especially when I was in high school and I had teachers that I was around. Some of my teachers would come and touch my arm or touch my back, and it would really have an adverse effect on me. And it also had a bad effect on me when it came to my marriage. When I was married to my second husband, we really could not have much of a sexual relationship because every time we were even in that particular episode or in that way, in that intimacy, it's like I had to keep pushing him away. And even to take the spotlight away from me and bring it into current times with Miss Blasey Ford, you know, when she was testifying yesterday, she still had tears in her eyes about the experiences that she felt of being pinned down to a bed and someone putting their hand over their mouth and being traumatized by that. Those particular experiences stick with you, you know. And it's traumatizing over the years. It's not just something that you can get over. It's not just something that you can get away with, or away from, I should say. When I was in high school, I had gone on a blind date with a classmate and found myself, instead of going where we were supposed to go, we ended up at his home. And I was watching television with him, and for whatever reason, I had blacked out. And it turns out that he raped me. And every time I would have these blackouts, I would always think, someone's going to hurt me, someone's going to rape me, someone's going to do something to me. So when I approach men to this day, I'm really cautious. I speak nice, I smile, but I'm not as friendly as I would be with someone else, with a woman that I would be a little more comfortable with. Being sexually traumatized, being in particular situations that are not comfortable for you can cause those symptoms of PTSD because you don't want to place yourself in those moments. You know what I'm saying? And even if you're not putting yourself in those particular moments, in the area of Me Too, think about all the times when you're at work and those sexual advances happen. I remember working at a security company, and the gentleman who came to fix on my computer, I was wearing a dress at the time, told me to sit in my chair and scoot under so that he could be under me while he's fixing on my computer. You know, that was quite uncomfortable. I wanted to kick him. But at the same time, I'm thinking, how can this affect my job? How am I going to take care of myself? Because if I don't follow through with what this man wants me to do, he could say something to the boss that I had did something to him and what have you, and take away my opportunities for growth within this particular company. It has adverse effects on either side of the aisle, and the fact that you're fighting with this over and over again, what they say, boys will be boys, well, boys need to be taught a lot better not to put that on women that they're around. And I can't even put it all on women because men go through it as well, you know. You've got these young boys who are experiencing being bullied and also being sexualized. Boys are raped just as much as girls are, and they are taught to be strong men. I have to be strong. Yes, that was my experience, but yet and still, it was a learning experience. I'm going to, you know, dominate and be more protective or be stronger than everybody else so nobody can take my manhood from me anymore. Instead of dealing with that pain and that anguish and going to a therapist and getting it all out, we put that front up so that nobody else can see just how traumatized and vulnerable we really are.
Wow.
Did I run
off
on a tangent?
No, because, you know, it's one of the things is that the reason I wanted you to address, and especially talk a little bit more about anxiety, is that oftentimes people don't, I'll share that I had a memory of, I know now that an uncle that I really loved acted very violently towards a cousin, my cousin, but that my other aunts and uncles were around. So in the memory, mm-hmm. I see what happened, but nobody was saying anything. So for a long time, I thought, So I had a session with a therapist, not just one, but it was part of my session, and I told her about the memory. And she said, well, it's hard for me to think that no one was saying anything. She says, what I think is what you heard was so stressful, because I was probably 4 or 5 when this happened, that your mind blanked it out. And so it was a protection mechanism. But in that circumstance, in that room, I always had a certain amount of stress but didn't know why. So finally, years later, I confronted my mother and I said, why weren't you guys saying anything? This is that. She goes, what do you mean? She goes, we were all yelling. And so what happens is once my uncle punches my cousin, and once she hits the plate glass window, Then I hear the sounds of my other saying, mm-hmm. okay, now they're trying to get him out. So I realized that whatever happened, so there was a stress. For a long time, I didn't know why I felt stressful in there or anxious because it was related to what had happened, but my mind had blanked that out, and I'm sharing that. But oftentimes women and men, people may have a mental that, oh, my God, I'm crazy every time I go in this room, blah, 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 when I interact with this person, because something's happened that your mind has protected you from.
Exactly.
But that part of
and
mental
your mind
wellness
does do that. Mm-hmm.
Is bringing it forward so you can walk in wholeness.
Not just mental wellness, but it's also when you stuff things and you stuff things and you don't bother to address them, they will come out. You know, we all wear masks every day. We don't necessarily show everybody how hurt we are, how tired we are, how we don't want to smile that day. So we wear masks so that other people can see what they think that they should see. When our parents were growing up, they didn't talk about the trauma. They didn't talk about rape and incest and beatings because that was just a part of a family. That was just the way it was. It's like back in the day, men had control over women. We had no right to vote. We had no right to have money of our own. We had no right to have houses of our own. We had no right to even talk on our own. If our husbands didn't get permission for it, it did not happen. And then as we gained more equality, the men became a lot more stronger and therefore call themselves, quote unquote, putting us in our place. Well, because we had to be the woman in the house, the woman who takes care of only what's in the house, we also had to keep the secrets. My mama likes to say she's the historian of her family because she knows everything that has happened. You know, she's experienced being abandoned and being abused and all the other things that had happened to her because her mother didn't want her, so her grandmother raised her. And then the same thing happened to her grandmother and so on. So this is like going through the generations. And as you said, no one really talked about it in your family because it's family business. It's not supposed to be spread around. It's only supposed to be dealt with, and then you have to put it behind you. I remember after my abuse had happened, after Mahmi, he specifically told me not to tell anybody. And then he said, you know, your mother works in the prison system. She could have me locked up. Make sure that you don't tell her. Because he knew he could go to prison. He knew what he was doing was wrong. But yet and still, he wanted to perpetrate that whole thing of, this is within the family. You need not tell anybody. I just happened to be one of the lucky ones because when I did finally tell my mom, the first thing she said was she was going to kill him. And then she thought about locking him up. You know, I talked to one of my clients not too long ago who just had a memory surface of her own about being abused by an uncle. And she said she went to go and talk to her mom about, no, her grandmother. But instead of her grandmother, you know, embracing her and loving on her, her grandmother threatened the uncle and just about beat him down and then turned around and told her to go watch cartoons. And she stuffed this memory for years. This woman is in her 60s now, and she's just now remembering it. And she said, you know, I wish my grandmother had embraced me. I wish she had told me she loved me. I wish she had done something else. And one of the things that I told her was that your grandmother did what she thought was best, which was to protect you and threaten that person and get them away from you. Our parents didn't know how to handle that kind of trauma back then. But now that we are more educated about what to do, about the reporting, even though still to this day, as recognized in all of this madness that's going on with the nomination, sometimes we're still not believed to listen a whole lot more now. We have to address what we're stuffing down because the more we stuff it down, when it does come out, it's going to come out more stressful and more traumatic than it was in the beginning. And then you have to really start that healing process. And when you start that healing process, allow yourself to cry. Don't hold the tears back no more. Cry. Yell, scream, break stuff, get it out. the more you get it out, the more healing you will receive, the more healing you will have. And then the next process, forgive yourself. It is more important for you to forgive you than it is for you to forgive anybody else at this moment, because you blame yourself for what happened. You blame yourself for holding on to it. You blame yourself for not remembering. Forgive yourself for those things. Allow yourself to heal and allow you to love you. You need that love from you, most important of all. And then after you've done that, then you forgive the abuser. And the reason for the forgiveness of the abuser is to give you peace. You're not saying, hey, I forgive you for what you did, and you give them, you know, total penance. They're going to pay for what they've done. But it gives you some peace. It gives you some solace so that you can move forward in your healing and your wellness. The next step after that is to start looking for things that you love to do. Look for things that help you smile, help you feel good. You know, you can have what I like to call mini staycations. I remember there was this movie with Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise. I think it's called Collateral. Yeah, it's called Collateral. And Jamie Foxx played a cab driver. Tom Cruise was a hitman. And Jamie Foxx says, I take vacations every day. And what he had was a picture of his favorite island on a sunny day. And he kept it on the visor above him. And so when he felt the need that he was feeling stressful or not in a good mood or whatever, he would pull that visor down and picture himself on that island enjoying the sun. And he would allow his mind to go into meditation mode so that he could feel the heat from the sun. He could feel the breeze from the wind, hear the roaring of the ocean. You know, allow yourself that kind of time. Give yourself that type of meditation that you can bring yourself back to you and feel that healing, feel that glow. I bet you get an instant smile.
Wow. Wow. Just what we needed. I definitely have got to have you back on the program. Our time is up. Please let people know how they can get in contact with you.
You can get in contact with me on Facebook. My name is Andrea Landry Brown. I do have a special group called Power. It's Progressive Organized Wellness and Power and Recovery. You can also reach me on my website at www.andrealandrybrown.org. And Landry is spelled Landry, not laundry. I'm also on Instagram at Wellness Diva, the Mental Wellness Diva. Yes.
Wow, Andrea, you gave so much information. One of the reasons that I wanted to have you on here is because we're looking at making these, we started in September making these last 120 days, now these last 90 days starting October, the best. And that honesty about our mental wellness, speaking our truth about what has happened to us. I love if you can just, in a quick minute, go over those steps again about forgive yourself, forgive the other person. If you can give us those steps one more time.
If you feel yourself being emotional and crying, allow yourself to cry. Get it out. Cry, scream, break stuff if you have to, but let it out. Next step, forgive yourself. Very imperative to forgive yourself. We tend to beat ourselves up when we can't let things go. Then forgive the other person. It's not necessarily for them, but it's for your peace of mind. The next is to give yourself a staycation. Allow yourself some meditation time and take yourself to a place that you would really like to go. I bet you'll smile. Enjoy and have a beautiful Sunday. Saturday. Today is Saturday.
Darling, thank you so much. I am definitely going to have you start, and we're going to have you come back in January where we can start making 2019 the best year of our lives. Thank you to everyone who listened and who will be listening. Andrea, because I've been calling you Andrea. Andrea, thank you for being my special guest, and I'll be talking to you soon, darling. Take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.